he's the one showing up. You all witnessed it with Ryan going to the military, and the major, sergeant major from the camp, Leonard Wood, shows up, and his whole family all the way from Missouri just decides to show up a week before he ships out. And that wasn't for Ryan, I don't think. I think that was for Linda, a mama's heart. And Dave, who didn't realize that when we set him out that day on that journey to go into that office, knowing we weren't going to see him for a while, that all the questions that were going to flood in didn't need to be bothering us because God had his boy. Beloved, God's grace is amazing. And you don't know God's grace unless you know God's grace. You see Jesus. I love what Becky said. You know, anything God did, it's because of Jesus. This passage goes on to say, for. Look at verse 20. The Bible, verse 10. It says, for it became him. For it became him. It was fitting for him. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things. See that? He's the creator. Made a little lower than the angels. Made himself a little lower than the angels. For whom are all things? By whom are all things? He's the creator. It's all for him. All of the glory of Jesus. God wants his son to get the glory in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now what's he saying? He's saying that God made all things for Jesus. He said, we see Jesus, who made himself, who now saw that it was necessary that the captain of our salvation, this is what God gave you for the grist of the mill of your faith. He saw that it was proper and fitting and right that the captain of the thing you call your salvation be made perfect through suffering. In other words, if you're going to trust him, you're going to be with Job saying, how can he understand? Oh, that there were a daysman between us, a mediator between us and God. How can he understand my affliction? You know what? Jesus can understand your affliction. And he said he saw that it was proper that if you were going to have a faith that was going to be solid and get you from point A to point B, meaning birth to death and on unto heaven, if you're going to have somebody you can really trust, he perceived and understood. Now, no other religion could have conjured this. Only God could have framed this. The gods of the Romans, the gods of the Greeks, the gods of the ancient world, they were all mean and lustful and envious and power hungry, and they sat on their mountain Olympus, and they would blow people up, and they would steal and walk away with the women of sons of men, daughters of men rather, and they were all kind of interfighting just like we do. They were like us because they were made in our image. We made them, but this God, our God, true God, the God who looked at it and said, how's it going to work? He said, the only way they're really going to believe me of is if I go down there. And if I taste of death, and I show them personally that it's going to be okay. See, salvation is not about a hope-so thing. It's a hope that is built in a certainty. God showed up. And I want you to know he's going to show up again. And if you don't know Jesus, you'll be seeing faces of babies being gnawed off by hounds, and you will see crowds of people hustling behind you, and you'll have nowhere to go, and there will be no outlet, and there will be no way out, and the flames of hell will be lapping at your feet, and one day you'll be plummeted into an eternity apart from God with no hope of being gotten out of that. That's what Glenn Beck felt. And the demons gleefully laughing, licking, salivating, lip-smacking, hissing. I tell you, folks, I've read some pretty amazing depictions of hell by some eloquent preachers of the past. Wish to the Lord that I had such an eloquent tongue. I can't put it into pictures that would make you shiver in your shoes. I am not a Jonathan Edwards, but I can tell you this. The Bible says that those that are cast into the lake of fire will have no rest day or night forever. That they will be cast into everlasting destruction, which means wave upon wave, if you've ever had agony or pain. I remember when I was a kid, I was a teenager, I guess, and I got a sunburn on my back. I've always been kind of like that. Sunburn, some of you are like that. Craig kind of tasted this too, because he got the same thing. So I really sympathize, because I had had it long before he has. But I got like a sun poisoning in my back. And it hurt, and it pained, and it just wave upon wave, and nothing could make it go away. And I was gnawing on the pillow. Now that's my cognizant. When I was 8, I was burnt with fire, and I was in the hospital for 3 months. I don't remember the pain. I remember the pain at 17. I remember the pain as a kid, but I don't remember. You know what I'm saying? But I remember the pain with that sunburn. Nothing like that, man. Nothing like a burn, huh? Nothing like a burn. But what I'm saying is, God's letting us know. He didn't hold out on us. He didn't keep it hidden. Jesus spoke 3 times about hell, for every one time he spoke about heaven. He said it's going to happen, and he said it wasn't prepared for you after all. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And this Bible tells us that Jesus tasted death. Jesus understands what you fear. So he came and he said, listen. He said, and I've used this illustration before, maybe you remember it. Have you ever had a time where everybody's going swimming, and you didn't want to go in and said, man, that's going to be cold. I don't want to go in because I'm just a little panda bear, and I don't want to get cold. And now we are all on the street, you won't get cold. So your brother jumps in, or your buddy jumps in and says, oh, it's fine. And for some reason, they're able to look like, yeah, it's fine. They give you that look. Yeah, it's fine. It's great. Look, woo-hoo. So you jump in and it's ice cold. You're like, ah! Right? You ever had that? It's crazy. And then they're like, I'm out here. You got to get it. I wasn't going to do it alone. You had to go in with me. Listen, Jesus is the one you can trust. And he's so trustworthy that he said, listen, I'll tell you what, you got a problem. Your problem is you're afraid to die. And that's good, because I'll tell you what, people don't think about death today. We think we're going to live forever. But in the old days, back when people buried their own, when people had plagues and saw many people die from certain outbreaks, when people had to put their own out in the parlor, people knew what death was. When they had to kill their own animals, you know, that they raised for food and all that, death was real to them. To you, me, it's death, you know, TV, you know, you've got a video game, you're dead, you get up again. No, no, not happening. What is real is Jesus knew man was going to be afraid of death all their lives, and because they were afraid of death, guess what? They couldn't live. How do you live when you're always afraid that you're going to have to be accountable for the things you've done because you know you? So in our day, we say, well, you didn't do anything wrong, it was your parents' fault, right? But Jesus knew we would be afraid of death, and if not afraid all our lifetime, as he's going to mention, most people would have been in generations back, then you're going to be afraid when you come down to it. And what I want you to know is that what he said is it's okay, and I want you to know it's okay, because as the captain, I will go first. And he died. He died. And 3 days later, just as he said he would, he rose again from the dead. He says, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You see, this is the Christ we serve, and it's not a, he's a captain of our salvation. Later he's going to be called the architect, finisher, author of our faith. You know, the fact is he's got it all going on, and he said, you need something in your mind and in your heart so you know what to believe when it comes down to it. And we see Jesus crowned. We see Jesus understanding what grace is, and he knows when you need it the most. I just want you to know, I love the grace of God. It's a cool breeze in a dry and thirsty land. Amen? That's what it is. When you're down here wondering if it's all real, and when you've been going navigating for a while because life has been kind of mundane and ordinary, and suddenly God kicks it up a couple of notches, and you're saying, wow, that's God. And nobody could carry you from here, from salvation to the grave, without grace. You give up, you get tired, you get discouraged, you walk away. You fall, you feel condemned, you give up, you would. The only reason you're here today, still standing as God's child, if in fact you have been born again, is because God has somehow picked you up at times when you thought it was over. And there are times when you will feel like it's over. Verse 10 tells us that we see him, he's the captain of our salvation, and he was made perfect through sufferings. He wasn't made perfected in the sense that he personally had anything lacking. Because it wasn't a personal perfection. He already had that. It was a practical, spiritual perfection. In other words, you can look at him now with perfect eyes. You can say, I see it. It makes complete sense that if God's going to save me, he has to draw me in. He has to draw me pictures that I can understand. And I'm very, you know, difficult to understand this stuff because it's hard when I look at me, right? You look at you, right? You know, hard. How can he save me, right? It was very cute yesterday when all the ladies came into my house.